There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Well, Sean Sullivan is not here today, so if you don't listen in the morning, maybe you don't know who we are. But Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig on Midday Mobile, of course, every weekday on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, 6 to 9 a.m. every weekday. And what a vulgar opening for Sean's show. I've never listened to it from this side before, I got to say.
Kind of shocking.
Is he trying to offend the audience before a show begins?
Sean, especially after a 1.5 Bud Lights, very vulgar man. Sean's away today. Great guy, of course, and our Kimo Sabe, but he'll be back here soon. In any event, we've got a good show for you today. We're going to talk to the Better Business Bureau. Is it going to be...
Yeah, that'll be later this hour.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, somebody's trying to scam somebody out there.
I know.
And we're going to tell you about another little scam that's going on that the BBB wants to warn you about. Also, in the second hour, it is a Wednesday, and even with Sean not in here, we're going to call up Cameron Smith and see his take on some of the recent political news that's come out since the last time he was on the show a week ago. So we got a good show the rest of the way.
We wrote a couple of really good articles on AL.com this week, including one earlier this morning that was very personal in nature, and we'll talk to Cam about that. For a political writer, very thoughtful man.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we've got a guy, you know, downtown is just exploding. And even in the midst of this pandemic, it's pretty remarkable. And when you're talking about real estate downtown, when you're talking about people living in the downtown area, which has always been a struggle, the cities I've been in the past, Athens, Georgia, Columbus, Georgia, that's the kind of thing that they dream about, is actually having people living downtown in the city. It's now happening more and more. John Peebles is with City Management Company, among others, in downtown Mobile. John, how are you today?
I'm great today. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, we're glad to be able to talk about the good news. I've seen stories, you know, John, but quite frankly, I've been downtown a lot. My son lives down there, and his wife, and it's pretty evident to the eyes. There's something going on down there.
There's an exciting vibe going on, and it's mostly driven by younger people who naturally glom on to the walkability, the urban density, the sort of engaged lifestyle that a city center gives you, and more people are choosing to live in that, and that drives a very positive dynamic as your center city goes from being a 40-hour-a-week major capital investment to more like a full-time, 7-day, 24-hour capital investment. So it brings efficiency of services, it brings community, it brings a real dynamism to everything that takes place down there.
John, you know, I love old photographs of whether it's, you know, Mobile or Orange Beach, Gulf Shores area, where they show you what something used to look like, and then on the other side of that same photo, what it looks like now. The housing in downtown Mobile, whether it's condos people are renting out or homes, give me a little word snapshot, what it looked like 20 years ago and what it's starting to look like now.
Well, I can tell you, 20 years ago, I mean, I was involved in this fight then as well, and it was, insofar as housing is concerned, the only housing that was still downtown was remnant, decayed, lower-end housing that had been built originally as very nice middle-class housing, but as more and more people left, more and more of the properties were converted, converted to commercial use or scraped off for parking. And so these houses that were left became more isolated, less desirable as the population moved out of the CBD, less desirable, lower rents, and oftentimes you got folks in there who weren't invested in that community or any community, and so the place got a bad reputation as a place to live. And there are exceptions to that. There are people who held on throughout the worst of it, and then there were early adopters who came in 20 years ago, and those people look incredibly smart now. But they lived through a lot of negative times before they got to the time now, which is really wonderful. And there's very, very little in the way of negative influence downtown anymore. It's bright and fresh, and as the crime stats will tell you, you're a heck of a lot safer on the streets downtown than you are in the parking lot at Bel Air Mall.
That's something. John Peebles is a developer, and a lot of his work is in downtown Mobile, and a lot of that work is residential real estate and developments down there. John, what portion of your day or time do you dedicate to people living in downtown Mobile, developing more, taking care of the people that are there, et cetera?
Well, I spend a good part of my day doing that, but my day job really, and what allows me to follow this avocation, is my brokerage business. I'm a commercial and industrial real estate broker for CRE Mobile, and so I pursue that religiously. But the nature of real estate brokerage is you have intense periods of activity separated by vast gaps of total lethargy. What it means is that I'm able to focus on the development side of it in those gaps. To be honest, it's just recently that I've done any residential type development downtown. I've mostly done commercial, office warehouse, technical space, creative loft space development downtown. That's mostly what I've been doing for the past 20 years. But the residential end of it is hot, and when residential is hot, all the rest of it is hot too. That means people want to locate their businesses downtown. Retailers who 20 years ago would not have been caught dead downtown on a dare are now choosing spaces on St. Michael Street or Royal Street or St. Francis Street over spaces in Spring Hill. And so that's driven by the overall improvement in the community downtown, which is driven to a large extent by the increasing and improving quality of housing stock.
Yeah, one begets another. You get people living there,
absolutely,
and then you get businesses moving in.
What,
in your opinion, I mean, obviously downtown Mobile has a ways to go. There's plenty of places to fill there, but if you keep getting new businesses and people wanting to move downtown, could we eventually be faced with kind of like a Nashville situation where you just see all kinds of new condos going up because it's become that popular of a place?
Well, I mean, obviously that's a possibility, but when you refer to a place like Nashville, there are a lot of other engines driving what's going on there. Now, we've got our engines, and they're getting better and better. I mean, as we develop more and more aerospace industry, that's an incredibly valuable cluster and industry to be in. It's clean. The jobs are extremely well compensated. And they go to the bright people. And so you attract bright people and you retain bright people who might otherwise have gone somewhere else to find a good high-end job. And the same with Austin across the bay and the other technological businesses which are flowering here now. So the overall economy at the end of the day is going to slip the limits, whatever they might be, for downtown. Now, the existing level of economic development in the city generally is such that it can still drive a lot more development downtown. But when you start talking about Nashville and high-rise condos and the Gulch and places like they have there,
right,
that those are the products of a larger economy.
Sure, sure. And they've got the downtown arena and the downtown football stadium and all that.
Right.
So
that's right.
I'm reading the article in Fox on Fox 10. An estimated, there were about 375 apartment units. That was just 2 years ago. It's at least doubled to 750 to nearly 1,000 units, even more planned. I mean, those are exciting numbers, John. You just get the idea it's going to grow and grow.
Well, and success begets success, as you say, and as more and more people have friends who live downtown, it opens up the possibility of it. And I can tell you a great area of growth is it's mostly been driven by younger people, millennials, Gen Xers, whatever that means. But I'm beginning to see people, contemporaries of mine, people who are considering retirement, people who have a nice big house out in West Mobile with an acre lawn, and maybe they have a place at the beach, or maybe they've got a place at the mountains, and they say, I don't have a lawn out by the country club. What I want is something small, contained, cool, near restaurants and bars that I can walk to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll spend the rest of my time at the beach or in the mountains. We're seeing more and more of those people. Those people are looking for a different product. They're looking for a larger, nicer, more highly finished product than most of what we've seen so far. There's one or two projects to satisfy that in the pipeline, but that's going to be the interesting part because then your community downtown becomes more balanced. And because as wonderful as bars are, and God knows I've explored one or two in my time, you can't really build an entire downtown community on that. And so you're going to have to have other things. And the older people are going to drive that. The older people are going to support the theaters. They're going to support the art galleries. They're going to support the higher-end retailers. So as the market evolves and blossoms, it becomes a little bit more balanced and a little bit more stable.
That makes perfect sense. Just a couple more minutes here with John Peebles. So has this been a concerted effort by city leaders to get people to move downtown, or is it just the new hot thing or a mix of both?
When the downtown property owners got together, I guess it's about 15 years ago now, and created a special taxing district. And they created something called the Downtown Mobile District Management Corporation, DMDNC, which beget the Downtown Alliance and adopted Main Street Mobile. That's when all the property owners came together and said, look, we need to spend more money on the public spaces of our properties downtown. We understand that the city can really only allocate resources on, say, a square foot basis. And you've got X number of square feet in Tillman's Corner or Jackson Heights. There's vastly more square feet. Okay, we get that. So we created our own special district. All the property owners downtown pay extra property tax, although it's an assessment, it's not a tax. And that drives the Downtown Alliance, which promotes everything downtown, retail, residential, office space, public space, events happening in public space. And it's a big promotional engine, which has done more than any other single thing to drive the redevelopment of downtown Mobile. And so you ask if this has been a concerted effort. Yeah, it's been a concerted effort of that organization.
Mm-hmm.
And during some mayoral administrations, the city has been supportive. And during some, they've been less so. I will tell you that for the past 8 years, the city administration has been incredibly supportive, incredibly focused on what downtown requires, and has helped achieve this success that you see. I mean, to have a mayor who's engaged in the process, who understands it, who values it, who shows up for meetings, who helps support speakers to that we bring in on different topics to help with the process. That has been an incredibly supportive arm of government for us, and we wouldn't be where we were if it hadn't been for Mayor Simpson and his administration over the past 8 years. But so a concerted effort, yeah, it's been a concerted effort of lots of different people, because one of the main thrusts of redeveloping or restoring any downtown is there's got to be a substantial residential component in it to make sure that the community is alive 24 hours a day.
John Peoples is with CRE Mobile, and we appreciate your time very much, John. Maybe you can join us in the morning sometime with Dalton and I between 8 and 9. Sound good?
Sounds good. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you, Dan.
You got it.
Yeah. A lot of information there. Oh, yeah.
Well, and the role that the Downtown Mobile Alliance is playing in all this. I was not aware of that. Mm-hmm. That looks like that was a big change for what they were able to do, and as far as resources, and I think it's exciting news, Dan.
I agree.
It's 12:22 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Krishan Sullivan.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
God, would stop saying that other guy's name. It's Dan and Dalton.
Yeah, get it right.
FM Talk 106.5 in for Sean Sullivan, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig.
Yeah, the growth downtown is something else, isn't it? I wish when I was in college that I lived downtown. And it sounds like that's kind of who's driving the growth, is college or just over college age. You know, the young people that have yet to start families.
Right.
Because now I can't imagine living downtown with
no.
two girls.
No.
You know, and but I would have had a ball until I was about 25, 26, probably later. I might not even be married if I lived downtown.
You would have had a ball in a jail cell.
Yeah.
Because you would, it's too enticing.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much fun.
It is.
I don't think I could live downtown and try, you know, a lot of what I try to do in my life, there's some discipline to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the shiny lights would make me lose my discipline.
Yeah, you and I are kind of similar in
yeah,
the,
I think we are.
Bug to a light bulb situation there. But, you know, what John said about older, not elderly, but, you know, people that are near retirement or just retired, it also makes sense for them to move downtown. But then again, they're probably not looking for one-room, one-bedroom apartments.
Right. They're looking for something bigger than that. And he talked about that. And I think he was saying we were having some trouble with his phone, but that they don't – first of all, almost every rental space downtown is rented.
Yeah.
Second of all, I don't think – they're just now figuring out these people in Spring Hill or West Mobile are really interested in bigger, smaller
–
how do I say this? They want to downsize.
Less maintenance,
but nice places.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's many of those downtown yet, but maybe that's on the way.
Yeah, they're not looking for dorm room living.
No.
Is what you're saying.
No.
That's great. And if you want to comment, 343-0106, phone line, text line. You can also leave us a voicemail on the app. Or venture over to our Facebook page. Leanna doing a great job keeping that up as usual. And some pretty major points of contention on the Facebook page today, Dan.
Yeah.
One of those being our poll question, where Leanna simply asked, would you pay $2 to cross the bridge? Because the discussion of the new Mobile River truck bridge yesterday at the meeting they had, and a ton of answers coming in. Right now it looks heavily weighted towards, well, yeah, a lot more people say they don't want to pay any toll, even if it's just $2.
So even occasionally they wouldn't want to pay $2 just to go ahead and...
Yeah, and I think this all is from that first bridge project that the governor and ALDOT tried to sneak by.
Mm-hmm.
If that first bridge project had gone through and they said, yeah, there's going to be a toll, a $2 toll.
We'll just let you know about that later.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been as contentious then if it was just a $2 toll and only on the new bridge, not in the Bayway, not in the Wallace Tunnel. But since they did that and tried to sneak that one through, now it's like everyone here is completely anti-toll at all.
I would say there may be the opposite to that, too, that we, what was it, $6-$8 they were talking about?
Six each way. Yeah.
I mean, that just lit everybody up. Like, no way. Yeah, you might have a point that everyone is just like, the sticker cannot come down far enough for the shock to go away.
Yeah, it was the offer they made was so shocking to everyone here that we just completely said, no, we don't want to deal with you ever again.
That's like ridiculous. You're dealing with your two-year-old.
Exactly. Right?
Sometimes you just put your foot down, that's it.
Yeah.
It's 1230 FM Talk 106.5. Monty Donaldson, Better Business Bureau, she's on the way.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Bumper music in the midday show is so much more enchanting than what we have in the mornings.
That's kind of offensive. I helped put together that music we have.
I did too. I'm just Man, check this out.
I think Sean used to be on music radio or something.
He was. It's 12:35 Midday Mobile. Dan Brennan, Dalton Rowe again. For Sean Sullivan today, and I want to talk to Monty Donaldson, who's with the Better Business Bureau in downtown Mobile right now, about something going on out there, maybe more than one thing. Monty, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Great to be with y'all again.
Yeah, great to have you on. We hear there's a scam going around, and these scammers, no one gives them credit. Very, very smart people, and they see what's new, what's hot, and they jump on it quickly. So this new scam you're going to tell us about, something to do with the new child tax credit payments that are going out?
That's correct. And if you remember when we got our stimulus payments last year, all of a sudden people, these guys came out of the woodworks, and that's exactly what's happened again, except for this time they're targeting families who are eligible for the child tax credits.
Yeah, like Dalton, who's soon going to be living in a mansion because he's just churning out kids and the government's paying him off.
Exactly.
Well, each person that has a child under the age of 17 is eligible.
Okay.
And if you have children under 6, you're eligible for $300 a month. And then for children 6 to 17, it's $250. So don't know where Dalton fits in that category. But
He's getting $600.
Yes, I'll
tell you that right now.
I have 10 children under 6. I'm really racking it up.
It's like the Duggars over there. So how does this work? What do we have to be, or what does Dalton have to be looking out for?
Well, everybody down here all on the Gulf Coast needs to be worried about people trying to help these con artists, trying to help you get the payments earlier or get more money. But what they're really trying to do is steal your identity, get into your bank account. They're really just trying to take advantage of this government help that's been put in place till the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. You know, they're kind of playing the long game or the big game. You're just trying to get in advance on the $300 the government might send you. What are some of the ways these scammers make tricks? How are they tricking people into giving them information?
They impersonate government officials in order to convince you that they're really requesting your information. They might call and say, well, we just want to verify this. Well, the first thing people have got to realize is the IRS is never going to call them. Hmm. Nobody from the government is ever going to call them. And, you know, that's the big thing. Nobody's there. And when they start saying, well, you know, please verify your Social Security number, please verify your children's Social Security numbers, things like that, just, you know, hang up. Don't talk to them because the IRS, the Social Security, none of those people are going to be calling you.
Monty Donaldson is with the Better Business Bureau South Alabama, Southwest Alabama, right?
Central and South Alabama, yeah. That's right.
So
we're right down by the tunnel, and we can help with this and lots of other issues that consumers might have.
So Dalton made a good point. It's almost like they're kind of a chess step ahead. They see something coming, and they quickly get into action. Are these scammers, by and large, individuals, or is there more like a coalition of bad guys, or how does all this work, and how do they come up with their plans?
And I would say all of the above. You know, you have people that they are literally on the front line. When once they see like something like this, where there's government money coming, you know, they're going to be right here ready the minute it goes into effect. Just trying to take advantage of people. And then you also have these phone banks also that are just, you know, in foreign countries a lot of the times. And the phone call may come up on your phone that it's coming from Mobile or Birmingham or Citronelle or Atmore or some city in the state that you might think, well, this looks like to be legit. But anytime, and also if you get any kind of pre-recorded message that's saying, please call back, you know, there's been a problem. You know, no government agency is ever going to call you with a pre-recorded message, an urgent message, or anything like that.
You know, it really your confidence takes a hit when you get scammed by somebody mm-hmm. like this. I've come close in the past, although they probably saw what was sitting in my account and they were like, no, thank you. Here's my social, mister. You look like you need it. But it really stings when you get hit, even if no one else knows about it. I mean, if it happens on your own personal email and you figure out someone got one over on you, it's tough. So I'm glad that Mondi and the Better Business Bureau are here to kind of let us know what to look out for. My question there at the BBB, does anyone ever show up, head in hand that works there, maybe one of your coworkers, and they themselves have been scanned? Does that ever happen?
We hope not, but we have had some. Actually, this year there have been some people who have been filing false unemployment claims, and we had some employees where we got the paperwork come into the office saying, this particular person has filed an unemployment claim with, the BBB. Well, the person is sitting there right at work. So, yes, it has happened. You know, people try to get into our accounts. We get the crazy emails. We get the crazy texts, things like that. Nobody, and there again, nobody from teenage on up is free from these scammers. They're going to try to get anything from anybody.
Aside from the child tax credit scam that is going on presently, because that's the fattest target right now. Just in general, what should a citizen think about? How do you lift your guard up if you're not exactly sure what you're looking for? What should we be most concerned of? When is a flag on the play pretty obvious to y'all?
That's a very good question, Dan. So, here's what I say about this. Loose lips could mean credit dips. So if you can't verify the authenticity of any kind of communications with somebody who's claiming to be the IRS, your bank, or financial institution, any of that stuff, just don't give out any information. Just hang up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, call Social Security, call IRS, or, you can call the Better Business Bureau at any time. We're here to help you, and you can also report it to the Federal Trade Commission. If you have questions, they've got a great website themselves called reportfraud.ftc.gov. And, of course, we have bbb.org/scamtracker. So if you think you've been scammed, come check with us or go to the FTC, because these people are these eligibility requirements for this particular scam are monitored. The eligibility requirements and payment disbursements are monitored by the IRS only. There's certain dates these payments are going to come out. They're going to come out on the 15th of every month till December, except for August, which is the 13th. So these people can't get your money any earlier. Report it and be a hero, actually, and report it. And if you see something, if you have any doubt or if something sounds too good to be true, you call the Better Business Bureau and you stop before you start clicking away and giving away your personal information.
How often do citizens give you guys a call? How many citizens are concerned about
something? We have 60 to 70 calls a day in the state of Alabama.
Wow.
Our service area is everything Birmingham South, so we have 70 calls a day with consumers asking questions.
Whether
it might be about a business or they think they've been scammed or they have a complaint, but we have 70 a day.
We better let you go. There might be somebody in distress waiting to talk to Mondi. Thanks for your time today, Mondi. Really appreciate it. From the Better Business Bureau, Mondi Donaldson.
Thank you.
You got it.
Good stuff there.
Good information.
Now, if you get scammed, it's not our fault. We gave you the information right there to save yourself.
Hey, and how about 70 calls a day? Now, it's a big area that they take up, Birmingham South, but 70 actual pick up the phone and call them to say, I think I've got a problem here. Seems to be a lot of activity. So there must be a lot of things out there that are messing with people's accounts.
I mean, it is, we talk about cyber warfare often with the Russian and Chinese and North Korean scams that are out there, the ransomware payments. But I watched this, I'm trying to remember the name of this show. It's one of them that's on like the History or Discovery Channel. And this woman, journalist, female journalist, goes undercover. And it's some really kind of shady situations, and she's not as much undercover. They know she's a journalist, but she covers things like taking guns across the border, smuggling drugs, and one of her episodes was about calling scams. And she goes down to, I think it was Jamaica, it was somewhere in the Caribbean, and they have a full business that is about tricking Americans out of their money. Mm. And what they do, so many corporations that are based here in America put their call centers down there because it's so cheap. The work is so cheap. Mm-hmm. And we all know that. Anyone who's called for assistance from a company and you get, whether it's an Indian accent or a Caribbean accent, that's where the calls are going. Well, gangs down there will steal the reams and reams and reams of phone information, phone numbers and names and addresses. And then these scammers will get a hold of it and go person by person through it and run their scam on you, and they can make, you know, thousands of dollars a day. And so often the people that they end up scamming are really just lonely mm-hmm. Americans who mm-hmm. are looking for someone to talk to yep. or are looking to trust anyone, and they end up they trust these scam artists that are down there in the Caribbean. And it's the same thing here, you know, with COVID. And even if you're not, you know, worried about the virus or staying home or not staying home, it's such a strange situation nationally, and there's all this money being passed around, and I'm sure there are people out there that are worried that they're going to miss the boat on free money coming from the government, and they're willing to, you know, do whatever to make sure they get that money, click on whatever link or call whoever it may be and give whatever information out. Those scam artists know that, and they're totally ready to take advantage.
Yeah, so you have people who have got this money coming, and some of them may have already, you know, they need it advance.
Right, yeah.
They know it's coming. They know it's due to them. But at the same time, they maybe have already begun to spend it. And then you have this opportunity come along, and it seems too good to be true. And it is
mm-hmm.
too good to be true.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
12:46, and I know we're going to be talking to Larry Kirby here in a bit.
Yeah, and looking at the text line here after our conversation with John about downtown, Michael asked, he said, how is Mayor Stimson's plan to build low-income housing in that space, I guess in the Gayfers building there, how will that affect the growth? That's something I probably should have asked John that at the time. But
I was thinking about that, too. We just kind of ran out of time with it, but that's a fair question, because that is the big one of the big headlines coming out of the way that this money is going to be spent mm-hmm. is 90 or 100 apartments at the old Gayfers right on Bienville Square.
Yeah, we'll delve into that a little bit when we get back, and more here on Midday Mobile.
12:46, Dan and Dalton, and your phone call is certainly welcome at 343-0106. Cameron Smith next hour.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Dan Brennan, Dalton Orr again for Sean Sullivan, FM Talk 106. And going to check in with Larry Kirby with LCM Motor Cars. Larry, how you doing? I guess you're cruise out hunting for cars for customers this week?
Absolutely. You know, we've been slowly but surely building up our inventory. You know, we're pretty picky about what we buy, so it takes us a little while to get it built up. But right now, we're in pretty good shape and got stuff coming in daily.
So give me an example of what's on the lot right now. Somebody just wants to run out and suddenly their dream car is right there.
All right, we just got a great selection of SUVs. That's what's real popular right now, the midsize SUVs. Like, I got a 2019 Hyundai Tucson with only 9,000 miles on it that just came in. So it's a beautiful little SUV.
And I guess not everybody's flush with cash. You guys are good enough to have a lot of lending partners, so you can make sure that the deal is the best.
Absolutely. We got great credit unions that are got super, super rates right now. I mean, we can get them under 3%. With approved credit, so we got all different kind of lenders. We got, like I say, credit unions. We got banks. We got finance companies. So we're in good shape as far as helping them get their finances.
So let me get this straight: the inventory is great. You're always looking for new cars, and you can get somebody in and out in a hurry with a brand new car.
Absolutely, we can even do their insurance right here while they're waiting.
Sounds good, Larry. How do we come see you?
Highway 90 at Plantation Road. Online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook, or just call us at 375-0068.
Appreciate it, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM Motor Cars.
Good stuff there. Hey, checking out the text line before the top of the hour. We'll talk with Cameron Smith. Got plenty to discuss with him, whether it's Simone Biles or the January 6th Pelosi Committee or what have you. Plenty to get to. Don says, I'm all for seeing downtown grow and prosper, but somebody better figure out this sewage problem we have down there, because before they go adding to our existing antiquated system. Yeah, you know, my in-laws, they moved to Savannah, Georgia, maybe a decade ago. I don't know. They're from Massachusetts originally, but I never realized until I went to Savannah how alike it is with Mobile. Mm-hmm. I mean, both very old cities.
Very coastal.
Yeah, port cities, southern cities, a lot of similarities. A
lot of charm.
Even down to the racial makeup is almost identical.
Yep.
So a lot of similarities there. And they, too, have sewage issues. Mm-hmm. I guess downtown it floods all the time in Savannah. And I guess, you know, when you're in a – I don't know when the last time sewage in Mobile or even in, Daphne, some of the areas in Baldwin County, the last time it's been updated. But I guess that's just a situation that all old cities deal with at some point. I don't know if I'm off base on
that. And it may, you know, and I may be off base here a little bit too, but it might be old cities that are coastal as well, where you're kind of at sea level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not a whole lot to work with down there. But our flooding issues are almost comical. You know where the floods are going to be. There were times that I would not go to. I go to infirmary health to go to the gym,
mm-hmm.
And there were times, there were afternoons when I was like, no, I'm not going.
Yeah,
because I knew that Spring Hill Avenue would be flooded
underwater.
No need to go.
Looking at some more text here, Grant says, "Bartend one Mardi Gras on Dauphin Street, and I promise you, you will never want to live there."
Really?
I've been on the other side of the bar plenty of times, but yeah, maybe you bartend anywhere, you probably wouldn't want to live nearby after seeing the clientele come through there. Another one, eyesores and hot beds of funk like the Budget Inn need to get flushed out of downtown.
Yeah, that would probably be a good idea. Apologies to owner of Budget. Budget Inn, is that what it is right on Government?
That's what this unnamed texter said. Yeah, hot beds of funk, which sounds like an awesome disco band.
Yeah, I mean, if they would play Bayfest, bring Bayfest back.
Hot beds of
have
funk.
Them play Sunday afternoon. The other concern about downtown, I talked about this the other day, was those scooters. I'm scared to death somebody's really going to get hurt, because I came up on this group of young ladies on the scooters on Government Street.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there were any lights on it or taillights on the scooters. If there were, they didn't get my attention. And it's probably just, if you're going to rent a scooter downtown, I would say do it at your own risk, because living downtown's great. The bars and the restaurants are really coming up. Some of these modes of transportation. Remember, it was the bicycles,
mm-hmm.
And then they kind of went. They went as quickly as they came.
Yeah. Well, why ride a bike when you can get on an electric scooter?
Right.
Do those bad boys even have lights?
That's what I'm saying.
I didn't see any lights.
I didn't see any lights.
Maybe wear like one of those mining hats that has the flashlight on the front.
It
sounds dangerous.
They came equipped with the mining hats.
Yeah.
With the flashlight on the front.
There have been some terrible wrecks on those, and not necessarily downtown Mobile, although I'm sure some of you out there have seen people, you know, really eat it downtown. But if you've seen some videos online, those things can get especially for like the non-advanced scooterers,
sure.
Out there, if they jump on after having a few drinks, the speed wobbles are nothing to mess with. Once you get those speed wobbles going, it's tough to get it back under control.
I would not trust me on one of those scooters if I had not had a drink for months, let alone if it was a night out on the town.
And I'm sure they've been hit down there too, like you said, because, well, you were 100% with it, and you said it was tough to avoid them. So there you go.
He almost got hit by me.
Yeah, of all people.
Yeah.
This person said, hey, funny thing, while you were talking about the Social Security scam, I got a call from someone with the so-called Social Security office. They heard you on the radio in the background and then hung up, is what this texter said.
That's funny.
That's good stuff.
Well,
yeah,
glad we could be of help.
I'm over those calls, and I don't remember if it was the Alabama legislature or the national, the feds in D.C., that they were trying to make it illegal to do these calls. But that would do absolutely nothing, you know, making it illegal to have these scam calls being put out there. That the people that are law-abiding and living in the United States aren't the ones that are farming these calls out. And it is so old at this point. Even for a time there, I was paying AT&T, what is it, like a $4 or $5 charge a month, and they say that they will stop the scam calls from coming in.
I didn't know about that.
There's like some additional thing you can pay, and I tried it for a couple months, and it did nothing. It didn't stop like any scam call. If anything, I think it blocked a call from someone I was expecting to call from and didn't stop any of the scam calls.
Why didn't you call? I tried.
It's purely just they're trying to put a good look on by making it illegal, but that does nothing. And now I'm getting like the same calls. from Dothan numbers. Keep saying from Dothan.
Wow.
And there's a range of about five numbers back to back to back. And they've been calling me nonstop for like the last 3 weeks.
Now I'm getting calls where it's identifying who's calling and they're not in my contacts.
Mm.
Talked about that the other day.
This is old Jerry.
Yeah, right.
Jerry.
And it is old Jerry, but kind of weird. 859 FM Talk 106.5. Going to talk with a gentleman from AL.com named Cameron Smith. You may be familiar with his work on AL.com or here on FM Talk 106.5. He's on the way next.
There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Woo. Oh, it's unnerving when I hear that. Midday Mobile. It's 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, possibly going to be joined by Cam Smith from AL.com here in a bit.
We'll see. He might have been put off by that vile intro into the show.
I know I was.
Yeah, it makes me nervous to hear an expletive this early in the morning. I don't know. Something about it. We are the usual, I guess we should reset, right? We're normally on in the mornings from 6 to 9 a.m. and normally around this time going to bed to get ready to get up for the morning show. But with Sean taking a week here, we thought we'd sit in on a Wednesday.
Yeah, give him a chance to recharge his batteries. There's been different. We've had the guy from, let's see here, who was it that was on from Montgomery?
So it's Huntsville.
Huntsville, yeah.
Michael Yaffe has been hosting the show, and I've been sitting where you are right now, running the board
producing
for his show. And I got to say, he's much better than we are.
He's good, though.
He is good. He is good. I've been enjoying the show, and he will be back tomorrow and Friday to guest host for Midday Mobile, and then Sean will be back fresh as a daisy come Monday. At least that's the plan. We'll see how that turns out. But plenty to get to today, even if Cam doesn't join us here. This morning we spent a lot of time talking about the Olympics, and specifically yesterday with Simone Biles. I think going into these Olympics, and I know no one's watching, right? That's what everyone's
saying.
Ratings are way down. But the two big names for Team America going in, Simone Biles and Katie Ledecky.
Mm-hmm.
Both have been dominant in their sports, especially Ledecky. I mean, no one could touch her until this go-round. But Simone Biles is the biggest name because some people, and I'm not qualified enough in gymnastics or viewing gymnastics to tell you, but some would say she's the greatest ever to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how accurate that is.
That opinion is out there.
In Rio, she won 4 golds and a silver last Olympics. So she was expected, and Team USA was expected, to just come in and dominate. And then yesterday, she just completely said she wasn't feeling it. You could see it in her jumps. And we've had some texts about that this afternoon, so we can get into that. Also, the new vaccine, the mask mandate coming from the top down again. I guess it's not exactly a mandate yet, but the CDC yesterday saying, hey, looks like if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated and in one of these specific areas, we're going to request that you wear a mask. And then they also recommended that all K through 12 students and teachers wear masks regardless of where they are, even if they're in Vermont, where there's like 70%, 80% vaccination rate. So that was sure to rankle a few feathers.
You would think so. And I think our show primarily this morning, if I can remember that far back,
it was
two subjects dominated, not just what we did, but also the text line and the calls. And it was Simone Biles saying, no mas, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
I don't want to play, or I don't want to participate. I don't think I'm up to it mentally. No physical injury. And also the rollback that we saw, COVID-19 vaccinations staying below where people want it.
Right.
So the government's trying to do whatever they can. And, of course, the variant is getting to be pretty dominant. I think we're up to near 900 hospitalizations in Mobile now of COVID-19, and that's as high as it's been in some time.
We have been exactly split on the text line regarding Simone Biles. One of the more recent texts here, Simone Biles buckled under pressure. Nothing wrong with that. She just buckled. She's already got several gold medals. And that's kind of where my stance is on here. I can't, you know, I try to put myself in the shoes of a bunch of different people, you know, whenever we're talking about something. It's difficult for me to put myself in the tiny little gymnastic shoes of Simone Biles, because she's someone who started training for the Olympics at like, I think six is when she began, and that's late for an Olympian. And then she was all the talk of the last of the Rio Olympics, and then going in here, like one of the main ones that was discussed there. And I don't know enough about the sport itself to even comment about whether what she did was a good move overall. All I can tell you is, I've experienced regret in the past for not following through on something, and I didn't have the eyes of the entire world on me doing, you know, the pommel horse or anything like that. But I just think she's going to come to regret what she did yesterday.
You talked to my brother about that too, behavioral scientist Dr. Jim Brennan. It sounds like I'm joking right there that my brother would be, but he is.
Yeah. And it's really just Dan with a fake mustache on, so everyone knows.
And he has worked in the sports field much of his life as well. And you brought up regrets to him, and this is what he had to say this morning on Mobile Mornings.
Probably. I agree with you, Dalton, that she'll probably have deep regrets, especially when you think about all the work she put into preparing for this and then the idea of letting her teammates down. I think it would work its way out, like letting her family down, letting herself down, letting her teammates, and letting the national, you know, the national fans, let them down. And she's been hammered pretty hard, I think, on social media, which it's not really fair, because I think it's too much of an oversimplification of something that's very complicated.
Dr. Jim's never going to be a headline grabber, because he's too nuanced in his understanding of mental, all things mental health and such. So he's not going to, you know, like you said, it's a pretty complicated situation, and he's just kind of giving it his best guess. The other point you brought up was how young these athletes start training.
Yeah.
And they're almost like TV stars, like child stars.
It's
right?
A mix of, well, I mean, look at Tiger Woods. He was in the national spotlight when he was two, although he was able to step out of it for quite a while after that. But it makes me think of Honey Boo Boo. You remember Honey Boo Boo?
It's just, you know, what a terrible existence she must have had as a child that was being pretty much lampooned across the country.
Yeah, exactly. She was like a parody of all these little girls whose lives are like that. Their moms, and it's not always bad, but some of the more extreme cases, you have their moms trotting them out there, putting them in full makeup, and they, you know, they've got all these expectations, and they're like 3 years old, 4 years old. That's kind of what a lot of our Olympic athletes are raised like. Like, they're just put in the mix from a very early age and are expected to compete. And don't get me wrong, a lot of them love it and love the sport, and it takes them on to do great things. But she's been in that pressure cooker for a long time now.
Yeah, and so my brother was remarking on how if usually at the age, she's 24 now, you're looking over things, you're sorting things out, you're trying to figure out what you want to give your all to. At when you grow up in the sport, not just, you know, she's already cemented in, but was she mature enough to understand what exactly was going on?
Mm-hmm.
So part of her life's going to be, it's going to be a lack of balance and a lack of understanding on how to go forward, because usually at 22, 23, 24, we're beginning to go forward. For a lot of them, they've already been out there and judged, and in many cases, celebrated. This is what Dr. Jim had to say about how young these athletes are when they start.
Because gymnasts do start so young, it's not as if you get to a certain point in young adulthood and you say, I'm choosing. I've examined different life paths, right? And this is the one that I'm choosing, I'm going to commit to, and there's a more of a psychological maturity that goes into your choice and can back it up. But a child who is gifted, they discover that she's gifted early in gymnastics, and then you're on this path that you've never really chosen, but But and then you find yourself at still a very young age, you find yourself as the focal point and of the aspirations of so many commercial interests and patriotic interests and sports world interests. It's got to be a little bit overwhelming. And then when you think, I never really got ahead of this in terms of my own maturity and my psychological defenses to handle this level of pressure.
Yeah. So, and we're trying to just dig down, talk to him, and say what happened at that moment, or what happened leading up to that moment. That's something we have probably never seen before in sports on a stage that big. The Olympics were, and the star of the Olympics said she's not ready to go.
Yeah.
Not physically, but emotionally.
Emotionally. And I think you can have empathy for her and at the same time be worried about what that says about us as a country. And not, you know, I'm not really worried about how the rest of the world looks at what that meant as it happened. Mm-hmm. But so many people immediately coming to her defense and saying it was the right thing to do. It seems like there hasn't been a whole lot of pushback with tough love. I mean, I think we've all been in a scenario where your parent or a teacher or someone in your life, you were being a weak little baby at some point. We've all been there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe not all of us, but I've certainly been there where there's a task that seems insurmountable and little Dalton is ready to completely give up and go home. And so many instances, it's been my dad who said, no.
Tough it out.
This is, you got to get back on the horse when you fall off. And you got to go through with this. And I imagine Simone Biles' parents have done that at some point. And this is such a situation I can't even place myself in. But overall, and I think we got Cameron Smith there.
Okay.
Join us. We'll get to him here in just a second. But it's almost like because of how this generation, the younger generations now are, what's expected out of them, I think there should be some tough love, even in this Simone Biles situation, because they're getting the tough love in Russia and China. The difference is they have no other choice there. We have the choice to either baby our new generations or give them some tough love. And it seems like tough love has completely gone by the wayside for emotional health.
The moment was not too big for her time and time again. She performed, she won, she became the darling of the country. What was different in this moment? That's what I was wondering, and that's what we talked to my brother about.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that the athletes that perform best under pressure have no fear, right, or no doubts. And the contemplation of failure is something that drives them. But the balancing act for Simone Biles, I think, was the balance was destroyed there. Mm-hmm. And I think that the fear, her fear of losing, her fear of failing, became so intense that she knew she could not, you know, she could not deliver.
Hey, Cam Smith.
Cameron, you there?
Yes.
How are you doing?
I am.
Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwell, you can kind of join our conversation before we get to the break here. You know, for the first 15 minutes of this hour, it's kind of been all things Simone Biles. What's your take?
My take is that if you're in a team situation, you do what's best for the team. If she says, hey, I can't go, and there's other replacements, and they've contemplated that, then that's how it rolls. The idea that, hey, if your mental health isn't there, and you can't go, and it's going to hurt your team, that's the right thing to do. If you can't participate at all, you know, those are calls that you need to kind of make before you get to the main event, because you got people depending on you. But I mean, as long as you're taking care of your teammates, I mean, this is part of sports.
It's just such a talking point because we haven't seen it at this level before with the most celebrated woman in her sport.
Yeah, with the eyes of the world on her. I think my reaction is similar to yours, Cameron. I just don't like how it seems like our media and our country treat younger generations with kid gloves anymore. And this is something you've discussed over the past, and I'm not sure if it's instantly if it fits into this Simone Biles thing, but I feel like, you know, we're not seeing the same thing out of the Chinese athletes or Russian athletes, and I'm sure their nations have put them on pedestals as well. It just seems like it kind of fits in with the narrative that America's become soft. Am I wrong for thinking that?
If you think Simone Biles is soft, you got another thing coming. I mean, that woman is a juggernaut. And I think the bigger issue here is One, we don't want to model anything after the Chinese and Soviets. They can be tough, but they're also doing things in ways that we reject outright. And I've repeatedly written about that. Again, it's okay to not be in a good enough shape to go, whether it's physical or mental, as long as you take care of your team. And I think that's what's kind of hard. I don't have the knowledge. I know in football, I know in baseball, I know in sports that I've played, what it would be like for somebody in the middle of a game. Imagine, you know, your quarterback in the middle of the game is like, nah, I'm out. Mm-hmm. Well, when under that model, that's a big problem. In gymnastics, I think it's a little different that, hey, they've got contingencies in place and say, okay, here's where we are. And if that's the case, and she says to her teammates, I am not in a position where I can successfully compete and help you, then that's not being soft. She's saying, I can't do it right now for whatever reason, and it's going to be worse for you if I do. That's showing us that she cares about her team. So, I mean, I'm actually okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Cam Smith from AL.com. We'll follow up with him right after the break.
It's
Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwood.
You can jump on the line as well, or text line 343-0106, and we'll be back here in just a couple minutes.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's going to be a short segment here with Cam Smith from AL.com, and then we'll wrap it around to the bottom of the hour and have him for more minutes later. Are you at an airport terminal or a Wendy's, or where are you, Cam?
You know, I'm in a cafe. Sometimes I call it a Parisian cafe. It's actually a cafe inside of a gym. It's not very exciting.
Not very Parisian.
That's awesome. Do you have one of those little bitty espressos sitting by you, or how do you go about it there? Big cup of coffee?
I have a solo cup with some stuff in it. It's like protein. It's not very good, I'm not going to lie. It's kind of chalky.
What is good is your writing over at AL.com, and, you've kept it up over the last couple weeks. I want to wait till the next segment to talk about your very heartfelt story about your grandfather and dementia, and I can relate to that in so many ways as well. First, I want to talk about something that happened after you talked with Sean last week, and that's Governor Ivey at some groundbreaking event, or I can't remember where she was last week, but she was asked about Alabama's low COVID numbers, and absolutely, I'll use the word, she snapped. She got upset, and she got mean in front of the camera, and she basically said, hey, this is all the unvaccinated's fault. Now, whether you agree with that or not, I want to know whether it was smart politically for Ivy to do that.
Well, if Ivy had any credible opposition, then it might be a liability, but I just don't think it's going to matter. And frankly, she's saying something that is borne out by the data that, you know, an Alabama Department of Public Health released the information that said something like 96% of the folks that are hospitalized with COVID right now are unvaccinated. So, I mean, her point is, if the numbers are going in the wrong direction, it ain't because of the folks that are vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And could she have said it in a different way? I mean, come on. She is one of the least mean politicians you're ever going to run into. So I think in terms of the net effect on her, people didn't like some of her shutdown politics. People didn't like, they're not going to like this. But are they not going to like it enough to give a challenger a credible chance? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think it was smart politics. But in the end, Cam, you're saying it's not going to cost.
Yeah, you gotta tell me who. Show me the person, and you know, Jim Ziegler ain't it. I mean, there is not a real credible challenge to Governor Ivey, and if there was, maybe this. But I just don't. Again, I just don't see it. I see people saying that's annoying, but I think as of right now, she's going to sail to another term.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I hear you. And you know, then yesterday you had the CDC coming out, and it looks like you know, if we follow the same playbook that we did last year, the CDC came out with the mask directive, and then you saw corporations go next. How long do you think before we see the Costcos and the Best Buys throw those mask mandates back out there?
Oh, I think they're coming. I think if the CDC does this, and say what you want about corporations, whether you like them or not is irrelevant. What they're looking at is their bottom line and their liability. They're saying if CDC says we recommend mask mandates and we don't do it and somebody gets sick and they can trace it back to our store, then they're going to see these decisions come out. New mask guidance indoors. The large publicly traded companies, you can just bank on new mask mandates coming back out.
We may find another way to talk with Cameron. We have a little trouble with the tie line right there.
Yeah, human Cameron left for a second and robot Cameron joined the show.
Yeah, so, and he was not as interesting as human Cameron at all. And human Cameron's got a really wonderful piece. It's kind of sad, too. You can check it out at AL.com, and we'll talk about that on the way.
Yeah, we will. More Midday Mobile. Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig in for Sean Sullivan. And who knows, if Sean's listening now, this could become a daily. I don't know. We'll see.
Please don't say that.
343-0106 if you want to jump on the line.
1:30 at FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yes, I'm not Sean Sullivan, and neither is he, Dan Brennan and Dalton.
No way.
In for Sean, and coming up, we'll continue our conversation with Cameron Smith with AL.com. And this segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's the phone number. The website is 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. It's a locally owned franchise of the world's largest junk removal service, and Trey Bennett and the crew doing a fantastic job here. Even if the heat index is up to 112 later this week, like Dr. Bill said it would this morning, they'll still be out there hydrated and doing a great job and getting the junk off of your property. Whether you have that junk at the backyard, side yard, front yard, maybe a full room in your house with stuff you're not using anymore, just give them a call. Have them take care of it for you. The number is 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and the price you get quoted is the price you'll pay. No surprise charges after the fact. Find a convenient time that works for you, and they'll give you that window and show up in that window of time. And then once they gather your stuff, they'll dispose of it responsibly. So you can't go wrong. Go ahead and set up your appointment today, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Cameron Smith, AL.com, our guest this afternoon. And Cameron, one of the things about you that I admire so much is that you can tackle issues that are very personal and also very painful, and yet you still have the artistic flair to write the article where it's pleasant to read, but sometimes the words are and the stories are tough. You have one called Dementia, and when the stories run out. Tell our audience what that one's all about.
Sure. This is a tough one for me. My grandfather was, for most of his life, a
Might be having a little trouble there with Cam. Cameron on the... maybe it wasn't meant to be today.
I'll tell you what. Cameron knows our number. Somebody, maybe he'll give us a call. That just wasn't working out real well.
Yeah, Cameron, if you can hear, just give us a call. 343-0106, and we'll get you back on the phone line. But sometimes it'd be like that, Dan.
Yeah, and you know, but the article itself, it really is tragic because Cameron's grandfather was a bigger-than-life personality. He was from the same town as Oprah Winfrey in Tennessee and claimed he was, I forget, either number one or number two personality in that town. But he seemed like he was such a life-of-the-party guy and loved his grandkids, Cameron being among them. And, you know, the thing that no one wants to see in her life came through, and it's dementia, and it really changed the dynamic of their relationship altogether.
And it's something that, you know, almost like cancer, it's touched almost everyone in some way. And my family, well, we've dealt with that in the past before with one of my grandparents, but one now that's kind of going through the early stages of that, and thankful that we have with my grandfather, you know, still a lot of, and a majority of the time, it is him you're talking to. But I see and read what Cameron wrote, and there's times where, you know, when you're dealing with that person that you've known your entire life, where they aren't that person anymore.
And but they're a person.
They are a person.
They can be very angry. They can be very controversial. They can be very confrontational. Mm-hmm. And it's really got to be heartbreaking. I've never experienced that. My grandmother was elderly, and actually she was a sweet woman with, I guess you would call it, dementia at the time. She was not angry or mad. She was always a sweet lady, and she retained that even when she no longer really knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
Cam, can you tell everybody about your granddad?
All right.
Maybe that wasn't him.
Might not have been.
But we were lucky in that way. We never had to deal with that. And has that been an issue that has been? Why didn't anybody talk about that issue years ago? I don't know.
Is Cameron on the line here?
No. I was just calling in to see if the guys were taking calls.
Yeah, we are.
Okay,
we're screening you live on the air right now. So who are we talking to?
This is Terry from Alberta.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Terry. You got a comment on the on Cameron's dementia story that we're talking about here, or do you want to talk about something else?
Well, I just want to say something about dementia, if I could.
Please.
I'm a physician. And one thing, I find interesting when I teach the med students, I say there's things that the public thinks and things that, the way it really happens in medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I try to tell my patients to tell everybody is, a lot of dementia is complicated by blood vessel dementia, many strokes, all right? Many strokes come from smoking, diabetes, cholesterol, high blood pressure in their family. But you can prevent those. I have a lot of people come in and they think they're doomed to dementia themselves. And they probably aren't, at least in some of the cases, because if you treat those problems that cause many strokes, you can prolong or put off those problems. So that's one thing that comes about. People think they're doomed to dementia, and they're not. You've got vascular dementia, which can be prevented on some level. And that's something I find a lot of people don't know I deal with, and it usually makes them feel better. So that's just something. I don't know what the story's about, because dementia is extremely terrible in what I do as a job. But you can prevent it if you catch these folks early and treat their risk factors, including with cholesterol pills. Let me say that. That's the most controversial one, I think.
So
that's all I got to say.
Yeah, but it's a great point. So by and large, dementia can be a physical ailment. Like, I've had some issues here recently where I visited the cardiologist and don't need to get into all that, but that was purely physical. But what you're saying is what can bring dementia on oftentimes is actually physical.
Well, there are different types of dementia.
Sure.
You have pure Alzheimer's, and then you have vascular dementia, which is the mini stroke type.
Yes.
And what I'm saying is the mini stroke type can be prevented in a lot of ways,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of dementias are mixed. So if you can get rid of and eliminate as many risk factors you can that lead to heart of the arteries, which are the same things for heart and arteries of the heart, you can prevent some of those dementia.
That's interesting. Thank you for your call. We appreciate it.
Really appreciate it. And, Cameron wrote such a personal article there. I've had, and it's selfish, entirely selfish, but I know so many others are going through the same thing. For selfish reasons, I've called my grandfather less since he began, exhibiting signs.
Yeah.
And it's because, I've talked to him so often and so many times and had just these, outstanding conversations about a ton of things, Indiana Pacers or politics or whatever it may be. And then when the dementia starts to kick in, it's not the same person you're talking to anymore. And selfishly, I call less because I don't want to put myself through that when that's probably something, I know it's something that would make his day better.
So is he still aware of exactly who you are?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The conversations have changed, but does he know who you are?
Yeah. As far as I know, he's in the very early stages of dementia. But I've also heard of family members who have gone, completely into the really rough waters of dementia.
Yeah.
That sounds what it does to people, and like Cameron writes in that article, is it turns you against that person in some ways, if they're being violent or just being
aggressive.
Down and mean or aggressive all the time. So you start to hate, and maybe hate is a strong word, but you don't like the person that's in that body, but that person isn't the person that inhabited that body for so long. And that's what I think he writes in that article that so many people can connect to.
I agree, and thankfully I've not had to deal with anything like that in my personal life, but I'm sure there's people out there right now listening to FM Talk 106.5, and they are bobbing their head saying, we got it going on right now with Uncle Billy or with Granddad or with whoever, where they kind of can turn your life upside down a little bit by the disease of dementia.
Yeah.
And again, it's got to be heartbreaking. So my prayers are with you all for sure.
Let's lighten it up a little bit when we get back. Wrap up this edition of Midday Mobile with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. And, well, we got more to get into when we get back to the other side. So shoot us a text on the text line. There's still time for a voicemail on the FM Talk 106.5 app.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 148 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan and me, Dalton Orwig, in for Sean Sullivan today. You know who's always here on Wednesdays? That's Angelo with Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Angelo, how are things going on this Wednesday afternoon?
Doing good. I mean, it's hot outside, but we're staying cool here indoors, and I've just been busy unpacking a silver order, a gold order, and, of course, Sean's favorite, the Open L knives.
Yeah, we love those knives here at FM Talk 106.5. Gold and silver, you know, the market, the stock market has been wild. What's the market for gold and silver looking like right now?
Well, it's really interesting because gold and silver have both dipped a little bit over the last few days. Now, silver has been hovering over $26 an ounce, getting close to $27. Now it's hovering around the $25 mark, and we've had a lot of customers taking advantage of that, people that have wanted to get in on gold and silver. Prices are down a little bit. It's a great time to buy. They've been coming in, checking things out, and we've had people take advantage of our free appraisal offer as well. So they've brought their coin collection in, got it appraised for no charge.
And you have some really cool collectible coins as well. So, you know, on one hand, you have the people who want to go buy gold and silver to just store gold and silver. But on another end, collectors that just like the cool designs.
Well, there's so many different cool designs and cool pieces out there, and not everybody likes the same thing. Otherwise, we'd just carry vanilla and we'd be done with it, right? But we get all these different designs in. As a matter of fact, the Seven Wonders of the Ancient World, the second coin in that series, is coming out. We've ordered it, waiting for it to arrive. That's the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Looking forward to seeing that series, seven coins in that series, obviously. So it'll be an easy one for a lot of folks to collect, and the artwork is absolutely phenomenal.
That's awesome. Well, that's the collectibles. You could also collect Open L knives. So you said you have some new ones in?
We did. As a matter of fact, we've had some people wanting some for their kids, and Open L makes a knife for children, basically your first pocket knife. The tip is blunted, so you're not going to cut yourself or stab yourself or do anything silly. But it's a small enough knife for a kid to hold on to. It's still got the safety lock, but with that blunted tip and blunted edge there at the very end, much less likely for a kid to do damage to themselves by accident.
See, that is smart parenting. My 2-year-old hopped out with a steak knife from behind the couch the other day, so that's not good parenting. But the Open L knives, first knife, that's some good stuff. Where can folks find you, Angela?
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street, online, mobilebaycoins.com, or Facebook and Instagram. Like and follow us there. Of course, you can check us out every Tuesday night on 106.5 from 6 to 7 with the two guys and some change.
That's right. I was listening last night. Another good show as always. Thank you, Angelo.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, there's Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins. And you'd think that I was lying about the steak knife thing and my daughter hopping out from behind the couch.
I didn't.
I thought that
sounded like sweaty baby to me up and down. That's...
Some people would not like to point out they're a bad parent sometimes. I point to it with foam fingers.
I was going to say to Angelo, you know what I've always said? There's nothing sillier than stabbing yourself. Because she was talking about you won't do anything silly like stabbing yourself. But I don't know if that falls into my silly file when I've stabbed myself. And I've done that recently. You've seen the injuries on my hands and knuckles with my peeling and grating.
Yeah.
And I'm not real good at it. And so you can see that I don't work at a deli.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to find. I pointed an injury out to you earlier that I had, but I must have some Wolverine like skin because I cut myself on cardboard yesterday. And now, oh, there it is. Yeah, a cardboard cut. It's similar to a paper cut. It's worse. It's cardboard.
Looks like it could have been painful.
A couple texts we got here. One, I think Dan, you need to answer for this one. BA says, haven't heard anything from David in a few days. Why do you think that is?
You know, I don't know why that is. He texted the other day and was considering calling And I think on my text reply, I said, this can be a lovely olive branch moment for the radio. I think that the listeners would really like. But I like David a lot. But sometimes he goes in a direction that I'm not crazy about. And since I have got the controls, you know, there might be a time when I have to say goodbye without saying goodbye.
That's why I'm always trying to be on your good side. You could just shut my mic off at any moment. Never really know.
Like just like that.
Okay.
You had a story earlier this morning, and I think it's worth revisiting because, well, I want this to lead into a story that I found since the morning show ended. Yours had something to do with like pineapples shirts.
I'd always heard that pineapples in your grocery cart on the Eastern Shore, specifically now.
Just the Eastern.
We're not talking about the Midtown Winn-Dixie. No.
Yeah.
Eastern Shore, pineapple in the grocery cart means you're trying to give...
Upside down.
Upside down, I guess, is important, too. You're trying to give a sign to other upside down pineapple people that you and your mate are open to an open relationship.
Okay.
So, anyway...
What does that entail? No, I was joking. You don't have to go into detail.
So, what that entails... Let me get graphic. So, anyhow, the story today was about a lady on TikTok, and she was showing off her... bikini. It was a bikini that had pictures of pineapples on it.
Okay.
And her husband happened to, she bought him some swim trunks with the same sort of pineapple design.
So that they could match at the pool?
And so she innocently put that on TikTok and suddenly was flooded with people that are saying, I get what you're saying, wink, wink, nod, nod.
Yeah, nudge, nudge.
Yeah. And she was like, no, I don't know. What are you talking about?
I guess on one hand, that can be disconcerting if you like... Well, like she clearly, and I would have, you know, if I'd worn some pineapple swim trunks, I would have been in the same boat as them. I'd be like, why are people?
Exactly.
But, and that can be disconcerting, but also you have to feel better about that than if you were to wear the pineapple shorts in no one context.
Right. And if you knew that the connotation and suddenly it's crickets, it's like you're being shut out in the 13th inning.
Yeah.
No one cares. So yeah, it's almost like that would be when people start reaching out to you when you inadvertently post something about upside down pineapples, that would mean that you're getting good reviews online.
That's right.
That'd be the same thing as a good review.
Maybe next time we co-host for Sean, we guest host, maybe we find someone, you know, some of these podcasts, they can take you through the history of something, you know, mm-hmm. they have like a series. Can we get to the bottom of the upside down pineapple thing on the Eastern Shore specifically? How did this start?
At Publix.
It started at Publix?
Publix, Eastern Shore.
Sounds like maybe I need to interview you to get to the bottom of this story.
That's all I know.
Okay.
We've drilled down as far as I know, no pun intended. And so Publix, Eastern Shore, that's the connotation. Okay. We laughed about it back in my old radio spot, you know, years ago. It was just kind of a running joke.
Yeah.
Is it true? Hit us on the text line.
Yeah, let us know. Especially
with your if you're with your neighbor's wife right now,
yeah.
Let us know.
And there is a pineapple emoji on the phone, too. So, having heard that now, the pineapple thing, there's a story from, and I'm going to mispronounce this, Mamou, Louisiana? Mamou? Okay.
That'll work.
How would Orgeron say it? That's
the guy.
And Orgeron, you know, Orgeron's a pineapple guy for sure. So, new place called T-Boys, that's T-E-E. Space BOI.
Okay.
T-Boys Swinger Trailer Park.
Wow. Yeah. They just come out and say it, huh?
Right off the bat. Like it's there on the sign. The motto, bring your house and share your spouse at T-Boys Swinger Trailer Park. David Aucoin, he runs T-Boys Trailer Park, Swinger Trailer Park. He said you can come to Mamou for many good things. This will be one of them. He says that this is right here on the local station's website. He's opening it for couples who are into swinging. And he said the swinger community is surprisingly bigger than you think.
It might be.
Live free and don't be scared of it. There's a big community of it. I think a bunch of them aren't shy. Well, I'd say that's the definition of being, not shy right there. And then he said the ones that are shy, hell with them. Roll with it. It's a good thing compared to most things. So... where does that cross the line? I'm certainly not a stickler or anything like that, and definitely not a snitch.
Where does it cross the line?
Like, swinging is not illegal, right?
Doesn't it cross the line, from the beginning to the end?
Yeah.
What about swinging is okay to you?
Is there something, will the Louisiana Popo show up to T-Boys?
No, I don't know that.
Swinger Trailer Park and say, listen... You can't be having this going on.
No, they might show up with lights and a tripod. They're like, you need some help here. We'll be your production company.
I guess in Louisiana, maybe there's some different rules than the rest of the states. But
it usually is.
That's not illegal, I guess, to have a trailer park, bring your house and share your spouse.
So we're also getting on the text line. Forget Louisiana. Baldwin County is humming with you know what. So we got Lisa in Robertsdale. I've heard about that from a friend in Robertsdale. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Grant says, he's down in Gulf Shores and definitely has heard about that. He said it makes him paranoid to ever buy a pineapple.
Grant said, I literally had a client years ago that had a pineapple door knocker on their front door.
Wow.
Wow.
If the front of your house, that's almost like the trailer park right there. You're out there. If you've got a pineapple door knocker, you're telling the world, yeah. FedEx man, mail guy that brings groceries, come on in and have a good time.
You know, and I'm thinking, you know, there's people, there's elderly people who love clocks. They'll put clocks all around their homes. They love owls. They'll put little owl figurines. I feel for the retiree who moves down to the Eastern Shore and just has a thing for pineapples.
Maybe he has a Hawaiian heritage and just like, pineapples are my thing.
Pineapple wallpaper, yeah. Pineapple, things out in front in the garden. Because, boy, they are probably in for a rude awakening.
So it's almost like the poor lady, God love you, out there named Karen. It was fine for about all of time until 2 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, and then you got to change your name now.
Yeah.
It's tough. I wonder if Paul Feinbaum knows what the upside-down pineapple thing is.
Change Karen to pineapple. Paul's on the way. FM Talk 106.5. A lot of fun today, Dalton. Thanks, buddy.
I had a blast. I think we'll be back tomorrow morning.
I think we will. Beginning at 6 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5.